appreciate the assembly inviting us here for these 2 weeks, and trust that the Word of God will be a blessing to each of us as we look into its pages time after time. I want to read a portion from the book of Genesis, chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14 and beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeba, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. So I guess you would say 13 is the number for rebellion, okay? And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheva, and Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to El Mishphat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, and smote, and he and his servants by night, and smote them, and they, you know, the eyes are getting worse day by day. And they pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, that is, Abram, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him the tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anah, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. May God add his blessing to the reading and our meditation on his word. A lot of funny names there, huh? Well, I guess they all have a lesson for us. My subject this morning is symbols of sacrifice. Other words, S-O-S, save our souls. Symbols of sacrifice. In the previous chapter, Lot had separated from Abram, his uncle, because their flocks and herds were too large and they were getting mixed up and there were fights and fusses between the herdmen of Lot's and Abram's. So Abram said to Lot, You look out on the field, take whatever you please. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you take the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot had a good look, and he saw the plains well watered, even like the Garden of Eden. And he said, I'll take that. He didn't realize what the scripture says, that the men of Sodom, it was next to Sodom. He says, the scripture says the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But Lot chose that because it was good for his cattle and his herds. So, there he goes. But it wasn't long before Lot moved into Sodom, and eventually he sat in the gate as a judge in Sodom. Abram took the other course, and all seemed to go well for a time, until there was rebellion. There were five cities and five kings and four cities and four kings, and Chedorlaomer went to war because those five cities and five kings rebelled against his rule over them. So Chedorlaomer went to war and took captive Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three kings with them and went his way. Somebody came and told Abram, Your nephew has been taken captive, and the armies have taken all their goods and all the people, and they've gone. And Abram, it says, armed his servants, 318 servants who had been trained. I guess he needed 318 servants with all the land, the flocks and the herds that he had. So Abram and 318 servants pursued after Chedorlaomer and his men and overcame them. He surprised them by going against them at night. He came down upon them, took Lot, his family, and all his goods, and returned back to his home. You see, that was pretty plucky of Abram. Well, I'll say it was. But the scripture says that when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, not his nephew, not Lot, when he heard that his brother was taken captive, then he took his 318 servants and pursued after the enemy. What would you and I have done or said under the circumstances? Lot had chosen to leave his uncle and go and eventually lived in Sodom. We might have said, serves him jolly well right. He had no business down there in Sodom. But not Abram. When Abram heard that his brother, not his nephew, not Lot, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants and pursued after the enemy. There's a lesson there for us, for you and for me. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Not Abram. He went to war with his servants, and God helped him, because God saw the faith, the integrity of Abram, and Abram took Lot and his family and all his goods and came back unscathed. You say, well, that's a pretty risky thing to go to war to save your brother. No. We may never be called to go to war to save our brother. But I think the scripture is very clear that if my brother and your brother is in trouble, even if he made a mistake, as Lot did, and Abram didn't consider that, Lot made a mistake. He left his uncle, and he went and eventually went into Sodom and ended up as a prisoner of war. But whatever our brother, whenever he gets into trouble, it's my responsibility and yours to help him as much as we can, even if it costs us some pola krimata, as the Greeks say. He's my brother. He's your brother in Christ. Brothers together, one together in Christ. And if it's within our power, we should be willing to help our brother and to get him out of the mess that he's in. Maybe he's overextended himself. He's tried to gather a little too much and he can't pay his bills. Well, he's my brother. He's your brother. If we can, if it's at all possible that we can help him, he's not our nephew, he's not Lot, he's my brother, he's your brother, and if it's within our power, it's our responsibility, as Abram did for his brother, to try and rescue him out of the difficulties that he's in. Well, that's something for you and for me to consider. You say, well, how far do I go? Well, as far as we are able to go. But because he's my brother, because he's your brother, we should be willing and ready to help as much as we can. Then we read in verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram on his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shave, which is the king's dale. The king of Sodom, well, he got defeated. Now he's coming to Abram, and he's making a proposal. He says to Abram, I want you to give me the people, and you take all the goods. God is not asleep. God is not silent. He sees and knows about every situation that we can get into. And the moment that the king of Sodom represents the devil himself, the moment that the king of Sodom came to Abram and made that proposal, Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salem is abbreviated for Jerusalem, the city of peace. Melchizedek came and he brought forth bread and wine. Now you may have thought, well, bread and wine is first introduced in the New Testament in the Gospels by the Lord Jesus. Not so. Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, came that day with bread and wine, and Abram, by receiving those emblems, those symbols of sacrifice, Abram was strengthened to say no to the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom said, give me the persons and you take the goods. Abram says, no, thank you. I have lifted up mine hand unto the Most High God that I will not take from a thread to a shoe latchet, lest thou shouldest say I have made Abram rich. And I am convinced that Abram that day, by receiving the bread and the wine, the emblems of sacrifice, was able to say no to the king of Sodom and to win the victory. And Abram says, I'll take the persons, you take the goods. Persons are far more valuable than goods. Persons live long, goods perish and fade away. How do we make our decisions? Do we take the goods and leave the persons? Not so Abram. How was he able to make that decision? Because he received the emblems of sacrifice, the bread and the wine. And Abram says, no, thank you. I'll take the persons. Persons are valuable. Persons live. They have a life. They, the possibility of a testimony. And we need to invest in persons rather than in goods. The king of Sodom, he was happy to get the goods. But Abram, he was more happy to take the persons. We need to make those kinds of decisions. To take the persons, to invest in persons. We have regular services at this chapel, preaching the gospel, ministering God's word. And I hope the main object is to rescue persons Persons have souls. Souls live forever. The person may not live forever, but souls live forever. And if that person can be saved, confess the Lord Jesus, a whole life is saved. And eternity will reveal the results. Goods, they perish. They will stay here. They'll fade. And we'll lose them. But persons have souls, and souls live forever. Let us decide to go in for the souls of men, for people, to invest in them. We meet people every day along the streets. We meet people on our jobs. We meet people in their homes. Let us invest in persons. Persons have souls. Souls live forever. And eternity, at the judgment seat of Christ, eternity will reveal the rewards for those who invest in persons and in souls. So that day, Abram, because he had received the symbols of sacrifice, was able to make the right decision and turn down the offer of the king of Sodom, which represents the devil himself. He's always there to bring some proposal that looks so good when it comes to monetary issues. It looks so good. But we have to look at the long view. Eternity, with eternity's values in view, Lord. May I do each day's work for thee with eternity's values in view. Abraham received the bread and the wine, and he was strengthened. He was equipped to be able to make the right decision and take the persons and leave the goods to the king of Sodom. In a while, we'll be taking those emblems, the bread and the wine. If we take that seriously, if we think deeply, when we take the bread, it represents the body of our Lord Jesus. And that body he gave on Calvary's cross for our redemption. We take the cup representing his blood. His blood was shed. He gave up that life. He died in order that you and I might have eternal life and live forever with himself. So, what will we do as we take the bread? Will we think about the body bruised and broken and pierced and wounded? And as we drink of the cup, will we think about his precious blood shed? The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and he gave it on Calvary. His life's blood was poured out. He died. He gave up himself, his body and his blood, in order that you and I, in partaking of the emblems, may be strengthened to go out of those doors, perhaps tomorrow, and to be able to refuse the offer of the devil himself as he comes in human form, and to say, no, I don't want anything that belongs to you. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to work for him. I'm going to do what pleases him. So, as we take the emblems in a while, let us think deeply about what they represent. The loaf, as we take our portion, the body of Christ, sacrificed on our behalf, the cup, representing his precious blood, shed on Calvary, shed for sinners, shed for me. And I believe that Abraham taking those emblems that day, the bread and the wine, fortified him for what he was able to do and did 23 years later when God called him to sacrifice his only son on Mount Moriah. Abram didn't ask any questions. He gathered the wood and the fire and his son Isaac, and they went to Mount Moriah. And God saw the intent of his heart, that he was willing to do it. And I believe he was fortified to be able to do that day, 23 years later, because 23 years earlier, he took the emblems of sacrifice, the bread and the wine. As we meet each Lord's Day and partake of those emblems, let us think seriously, deeply about what they represent, and that if we keep that before us, they will fortify us, strengthen us to say no to the devil and the devil's imps who offer things to us that are against the will of God, to give us the victory over the devil and his foes, and go on to greater heights. So, Abram won the victory that day. He was victorious. And he said no to the devil in the person of the king of Sodom. We will face decisions today, tomorrow, every day. We'll face decisions. But if we think seriously and deeply about the emblems that we will take in a while, God will give us the strength, the victory over those decisions that we face, and give us joy in our souls to know that we have pleased the Lord and he's given us the strength to win the victory. So, Melchizedek. Who was this Melchizedek? The scripture says he was the priest of the Most High God and the king of Salem, a priest and a king. But I believe he represents the Lord Jesus, although the Lord Jesus was never a priest. The scripture says in Hebrews that if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. He is the great high priest at God's right hand now, having died and was buried and rose again and risen to God's right hand. But he was never a priest while he was on earth. So, Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, king of peace, was a representative of the Lord Jesus himself, I believe. Clothed in human form that day, God manifest in the flesh. And Abram, because he lived in fellowship with God, I believe he was able to discern that. And he was pleased to receive from Melchizedek those emblems which fortified him to make the right decisions, not only that day, but later in his life. We do it every Sunday, every Lord's Day. Let us not do it casually. Let us do it from the heart, deeply. And God will give us the strength to win the victory when the temptation comes from the devil. and we'll have joy in our souls. So, Abram was fortified that day. Another servant of God we read of in Isaiah chapter 6. It says, Isaiah writing, he says, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. And there were cherubim or seraphim. And they cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah, when he saw that sight, when he heard those words, he smote upon his breast and he said, Woe is me, for I am undone. That word undone could be translated unraveled. You know, you unravel a cone of cord, twine. It's very difficult to get it back there again. Well, when the Spirit of God brings a scene of heaven before us, it's like we become unraveled. We cannot imagine that the glory of God is so great, so wondrous, so transforming. And Isaiah said, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I trust that every one of us here in this group this morning have had that experience. And then it says that one of those seraphim flew and took a live coal off the altar and brought it and put it upon the lips of Isaiah. And he said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is gone, past, purged. Thy sin purged. I trust we've all had that experience. That from the very cross of Christ, from that place where heaven and earth met together, that a live coal has touched our lips. The work, the effective work of Jesus Christ on Calvary is the only work that can save and cleanse precious, defiled souls. And if we've had that experience, then we can go on week after week and receive those emblems of sacrifice and go out in service for the Lord Jesus. So, not only Abram, but Isaiah and every person who has come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've had a similar experience. That when we felt the load of our sin, we cried out to God and Christ for mercy and salvation. And immediately, just as quickly as Melchizedek came to the side of Abram when the king of Sodom was there, so God instantaneously, when a sinner cries out, Woe is me, for I am undone, immediately, the effective work of Christ on the cross is applied to that sinner's heart and cleansed him, removing all guilt. If I don't know. Is there a person here today? And you've never had that cleansing power? Never felt the load of your sin? Never felt that you were unraveled and there was no putting it back together, your life unraveled and no putting it back together again? You've come to the end of yourself, and maybe you've put it behind you. If there's a person here today, I don't know. But if there's a person here today, and you've ever felt the burden of your sin, and seen by faith the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, His work, that effective work of salvation that He finished on Calvary, God, instantaneously, the minute you cry out to God and Christ for cleansing, for salvation, immediately that effective work of Jesus Christ on Calvary will be applied to your sin-sick soul. And you'll be clean every whit. But Isaiah didn't stop there. He says, I heard the voice saying, who will go for us? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I will go. Send me. That's what God is asking for every Christian, to say, I will go. We may not go across the waters. We may not go to China or to Europe. But I will go. I'll be an ambassador for Christ. I will tell people of the love of God. I will preach the gospel by my life, and I'll preach it by my lips. And today, God is waiting. If you're here and you're not a Christian, God is waiting for you to say, here am I. Here am I. I give myself to thee. Take me, use me, send me wherever it pleases you. May God challenge our hearts for Christian service, to be pure in all of our dealings. We have to have dealings with the world, but let us be above board. 100% honest, truthful, and God will strengthen us for something greater that lies down the road. So, Abram was blessed. Abram had a second vision. Sometime later, Abram sat in his tent door in the cool of the day. Three men, the scripture says, appeared before him. And then we read later in the chapter. One of them was the Lord. Two left and went to Sodom. And the Lord stood before Abram. Perhaps we think it's impossible for us to have a vision of the Lord Himself in these days, in my lifetime. Well, that may be far-fetched, but we can have that vision in our souls that we have pleased the Lord, we have honored Him in every transaction of life, in every deed, and by our life as well as by our lip, we can have that satisfaction that He has been with us and He has helped us and we've won the victory. All glory and praise to Him. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, for the lessons that are given here. Men of old who experienced visions of God. They saw God manifest in the flesh. They acknowledged their sin.
has said, woe is me, for I am undone. But we thank thee that it is possible today to have those visions in our souls, to know that we walk with the Lord. We've done that which is right and pleasing in thy sight. We've transacted business above board. And we've honored thee. Lord, give us that confidence, that vision, that faith to trust thee in every emergency, to give us the victory and to honor thee in all that we do and say. Bless thy word to our hearts as we give thee thanks in the Savior's precious name. Amen.